everyone. For the first episode of the EABCA podcast series for this year, we've decided to focus on the EABCA as an institution, what it has been, what it is doing today, and where it is going for tomorrow. As part of the series, therefore, I thought it was best to invite Christine Miner, who is the new CEO of the EABCA, and Jackie Iminza, who is the COO of the EABCA, in order to discuss where we're going. The EABCA is an institution that is greatly revered and admired in the private equity and venture capital circles in East Africa specifically. It contributes a lot to the ecosystem, and it's very important that we have this discussion so that we set the scene going forward for 2024. So let's start. Jackie, you've been at the EABCA the longest, and it's been 10 years of the EABCA. How did it come about? How was it formed, and why has it been so successful?
Thank you, Njeri, and for that very kind introduction of what EABCA is and what we are doing, more or less what we've been trying to achieve over the last 10 years. We just came from celebrating the 10 years of EAVCA's existence in supporting private capital deployment in East Africa, and how the idea of formation for the association came about was during the, I would say, the vintage years of VC, when Africa was just emerging as a hub for venture capital investments. And so there was a lot of conversations happening across the continent, more people talking about West Africa, people talking about South Africa, and there was no one really to talk about East Africa as an investment destination. And so this kind of brought together a few fund managers drawn from the private equity asset class to just join forces and come up with the industry body for the East African ecosystem. Their main objective in forming this association was to be able to have someone to tell the East African story and put East Africa on the map, considering the amount of opportunities it presented to the industry back then. So that was the motivation behind it. One was to bring the industry together, to be able to speak in one voice, advocate for East Africa as an investment destination, and generally just promoting businesses across the region.
Well, I think it's definitely done that very successfully, and we can see within the numbers, the membership. How has it grown from the inception to now?
It's really exciting to see, and more so at this point, because we started with 7 founding members, and these were all private equity companies. So there was Abrage, there was Catalyst, there was Centum, there was Fanisi, there was TBL Mira Fund among the founding members, as well as Africa Invest. So over the years, we have grown from just having 7 founding members who are basically more or less domiciled in Nairobi to expanding our membership across East Africa. We've grown to over 130 members as of 2024. And so this represents a diversity of members across the 5 different markets that we serve in East Africa. So that's really exciting to see. We've also grown to include key industry service providers such as yourselves, with CDH being a very good partner of EABCA.
No one needs to say that. She's not being paid.
Yeah, so that's what our membership incorporates right now, from private equity funds to having venture capital funds, and just expanding that scope and mandate to also having key service providers in the space.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking to you more than Christine, because Christine has literally arrived yesterday. What has been one of the significant achievements that you can point to say EABCA is a success story for East Africa?
Oh, wow. So this is giving me a chance to take credit for all the work that has been done prior to my time. I'll take that with pride. Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot that has been achieved by the association, just looking back at our advocacy efforts on the intelligence front, and even just events and network facilitation. So if I can point to some of the wins we've had in advocacy over the years, and I'll start with Ethiopia, was being able to achieve the exemption of CGT on follow-on investments. If you look at Kenya, what has been done, one, I'd point to participating in just review of the legislative frameworks, being able to advocate for the pension funds industry by changing the RBA regulation. This is the Retirement Benefits Authority, to allow private equity, to allow pension funds to invest in private equity.
Yeah.
That also was followed by the subsequent launch of the PE Investing Toolkit by EAVCA,
yeah.
And it was done in partnership with IFC. So this basically, it's a guide that provides key insights to pension funds to be able to assess private equity as an alternative asset, and also just being able to build their confidence in investing in private equity. We've also been able to achieve, in terms of influencing policy and regulations, just being able to remove the double filing requirements for Kenya and COMESA. This was done in 2018. And beyond that, we are also actively involved with key partners in Uganda, including the Capital Markets Authority. This is through our Ugandan office, which is also one of our greatest achievements today, because we started in Nairobi and now we do have a physical presence in Kampala, the EABCA chapter the Ugandan chapter of EABCA. It's been in operation now for 3 years. And
I didn't even know about, so yay.
Yeah, it's been in operation now for 3 years. It's growing in membership. We started with zero. Now we are counting more than 30 members who are present in Uganda. And their notable contribution to the ecosystem is being able to lobby for review of the legislative framework as well in Uganda at a country level, and especially focusing on local domiciliation of funds, which is also driving LP interest in wanting to invest in onshore structures.
Okay. I mean, those are very significant achievements. And I think anyone in the private equity and venture capital space will recognize the changes that have taken place over the last 10 years. So I think that's great. Personally, for you, what has, in the last 2 years that you've been at EABC, what has been your highlight? Apart from the contest last year, which was very well run.
Wow, where do I begin? I'd say at a personal level, when I came in, I came from a VC background. And so I got into the association without, you know, having a detailed understanding of how private equity works. And encouraging enough, or rather encouraging for me, was being able to just learn that I was not the only one. And there's been that divide for a very long time between the two asset classes, which is venture capital and private equity. They are very interconnected, but I think they have been operating independently, which has been posing a challenge on startups who want to transition from VC funding to private equity funding. Mm-hmm. So I would say what is changing now and what I'm glad to witness in my 2 years at EAVCA is the fact that there's the shifting dynamics between PE and VC, and a lot more conversations happening around just bridging that divide and being able to merge the two worlds together. So that's really exciting to see.
For us also as practitioners, I think it's really nice to see the merging and the understanding between the two from a practical perspective, and also encouraging for entrepreneurs locally to know that there are venture capitalists willing to take on the potential risks of their business in a way that private equity can't really cater for, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay. Turning now to today, and before that, we need to thank everyone else who has come before us. So who are we thanking? Eva?
Eva, who's the immediate former CEO.
Yeah.
Eva Warigia. We also need to pay tribute to Noni Babbage as the founding CEO of the association.
Yeah.
We have Esther Ndeti, who's played a key role, and these are all great women who are still very influential in the financial space and still driving conversations around investing in East Africa and unlocking opportunities for businesses locally.
Yeah, and I think Eva, Noni, Esther, all leaving a very great legacy for us to build up, and for you guys to build on.
Okay. More like setting the bar too high.
Turning to today, we are now with Christine Maina. Christine, you have just joined in November 2023 as the CEO of the EABCA. First of all, tell us about yourself, because I think we only saw you at the conference and it was like, welcome, Christina. We don't know who you are. So can you tell us a bit about yourself?
Yes. The first introduction was at the gala.
Yeah, the gala. It wasn't conference, gala, yeah.
And it's in November. So my name is Christine Maina. And Christine Maina is a mother, a God-fearing leader, an entrepreneur, and basically that. I would also consider myself on the as a dominance influence, you know, on the personality type.
Oh, dominant.
It's a DL.
Dominant
yeah.
type.
Yeah.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I've become a bit more humble having joined the AVC, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
So, yeah. But basically, that's just me. Very ambitious, driven, result-oriented. I am passionate about entrepreneurs and entrepreneurship, and especially the growth and support of MSME in Africa. And this being in the AVCA gives me that opportunity.
Yeah. So what was your previous career? How did you land at the AVCA?
So previous to AVCA, I was at the DRC, Kenya Chamber of Commerce, where we were promoting trade between Kenya and the DRC and assisting businesses from both sides of the countries to either set up and assisting them with opportunities in the whichever sector that it was. So we did a lot of sensitization. So I'm coming from a trade background. And coming to EAVCA, you know, Jackie said that when she came in, she had a VC background. I had none. No VC, no PE yeah. background. But I find that as an exciting challenge, if you ask me, like to push boundaries for myself over the years. So I'm finding it very exciting to, and a lot of learnings actually in this industry. I think I knew very little about the industry.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I think we should do now, just try and look at the success stories of the PE and VC and the work that's just being done.
Yeah. I think you're right. There's a lot of learning to be done, even from a technical perspective. And I know you guys run, you know, technical assistance training. Which we do on a yearly basis, which is really good. But I think what you bring to the table is your skills and knowledge of how to negotiate with different parties on a country level that can then be interpreted into this space. And I think that could be very useful to you, right?
Yeah, sure. And especially on advocacy. I mean, when I look at my roles in my previous job, they pretty much are the same as my roles in the AVCA, being that it was a chamber and association. You're meant to, you know, represent the industry in matters of lobbying and advocating with government, like you said, negotiating for trade, involving regulators, and also a lot of training, capacity building for the members, membership engagement, finding if you're giving value to your members or not. So actually, my roles are very similar. What's just different is the industry. And I believe for a good leader, if you're a good leader, you can practically fit anywhere. All you have to do is just learn the technicalities, be able to have a good team that knows what they're meant to do, because I don't believe you can know everything. But like I said, it's a good challenge. Yeah.
Yeah. But if you look at the board of the EAVC, which I know, you know, some of them, you know, we've spoken to before, they are the top, they are the top class of the PE industry and VC industry in the East African space. So they have a lot of, you know, people like Comet, people like Getha, people like Saskia, Sapna. They have a lot of information to give you on the market itself. And it's then translating that into how to make sure that, you know, you're getting your message across to the public, right?
Exactly.
What advice have they given you?
Yeah, so I think one of them actually told me, from my concern of not knowing a lot more about the technical part of the industry, is that, I mean, we use a lot of jargons. So specifically, someone just said, don't worry about the acronyms,
yeah.
the jargons.
Yeah.
And I told myself, I mean, there's no pressure. We get to learn along the way. And he just told me simply, PE, just take a company, invest in it, and then grow it, and then sell it. That's simply what we do.
I mean, that is the basics.
Basically what we do. So there's a lot of details that go into that, but basically that's just what they do. Mm-hmm. And so this reminded me about my journey as an entrepreneur. So when I was much younger, at about 22, 23, I actually took up a small business, a small manufacturing business, micro level, and grew it, then sold it.
I mean, that's a excellent achievement.
Basically, I was like, I think I've done this before. This sounds familiar. So I would definitely fit in here.
Okay, great. I mean, I want to know more about that business. But first of all, Jackie, you've been also, you know, you were in an acting capacity for 8 months.
Yeah.
What advice have you given Christine to marry what the board has told her?
I would be curious to flip this to Christine and hear what she said. But I think, yeah, she's pointed to some of it already. I remember when she first came and we were having conversations and I was trying to say something and she's like, you guys use a lot of acronyms, so what is that? So
we
realize when you get used to it, for sure. So I think at that moment, if I remember correctly, my advice would be take your time. It's a slow process.
Yeah.
So I think that is still relevant even now, because you're going to get a lot of information coming to you all at once. So the best way is to just take it a day at a
time. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say take your time, because you're taking your time in a very fast-paced environment.
Exactly.
Just telling you from the client perspective, everything is mañana.
Taking your time could also be just like you take your time during the day, but at night you spend all your hours just trying to dig through some information.
Also, Christine, as you talk about, you know, your roles in advocacy before and also what you've done, and you can create your own vision of what you want the AABCA to look like, and you two together as a powerhouse have the ability to transform. What kind of things are you thinking? You know that 100-day plan. What kind of things are you thinking already?
So
that the membership can look forward to.
Yeah, so EAVCA is going to have a broader focus on the region. I know we're seated in Nairobi, but like Jackie said, we have a chapter in Uganda. So just looking at how we can involve regulators in East Africa, you know, Tanzania, Rwanda, Ethiopia. And now DRC just joined the bloc. So there's going to be a lot more focus on East Africa. I mean, when we look at some of the issues that we're advocating for and lobbying for in Kenya, this on matters of tax, we're sure that this is going to catch up in the region. So just being able to avoid being reactive and forecasting our plans and, you know, just having solutions in advance. So we're going to have more focus on the region. And along the way, you're going to see how that's going to happen. We're going to be sharing more information on that. And for me, I think a lot more member engagement, just meeting the members, finding out about the value that we're giving, looking at the journey of EABCA the last 10 years, just highlighting our achievements and what we've done. I believe that this would be a year of reflecting and just looking at everything that we've been able to achieve the last 10 years now that we turned 10, and just letting our members know that, you know, we got them and we are here for the next 10 years.
Well, certainly, I think from the time that we joined, we've always felt very supported by the EABCA. Long may that continue.
Yeah.
And I think the members do appreciate the work that, you know, you guys do in order for us to take this industry forward. And I think people really look forward to connecting and during the networking sections of the conference of the Uganda, et cetera. And so we really hope to do more work on the advocacy side to promote, you know, what we want to see ourselves. Yeah. Looking now to tomorrow, first of all, in 10 years' time, will we still call it the AABCA or it'll be called something else? Yeah. What do you predict for the future for the AABCA? Should we start with Jackie?
That's a good question to ask, Njeri, whether or not in 10 years to come we'll still be calling it AABCA. I think we've internally had some of this discussion and trying to just look forward and looking at what the innovation that's happening, the opportunities that are coming through, and what would make sense in the long term. So that's still a conversation to have.
Yeah.
We'll decide, we'll cross the bridge when we get there. But looking back, I would say EABCA's success has been largely drawn from leveraging key partnerships, collaborations as well. And this is widely drawn from our membership, who are very supportive. So what we are going to see in the next 10 years is a lot more emphasis on sustainable investments, sustainable growth. We've all seen how the industry dynamics have been shifting, especially in the last couple of years. So more emphasis on that, of course, and Christine had already alluded to this, that we are going to have expanded engagement from EAFCA across the region. We started with the creation, or rather the establishment of the Uganda chapter, which has a physical presence in the country. And so our goal going forward is to be able to expand our physical presence as well as engagement across these countries. So we are going to be looking more and working more closely with key stakeholders in each countries. Currently, there's a lot of developments, new trends happening, especially in the tax environment. And so what we are doing now is going back to our, again, leveraging collaborations and partnerships, going back to our members who are thought leaders and inviting them to be part of this journey. So as currently, as of this year, we are going to have a lot more conversations going on around advocacy, a lot of lobbying, just to be able to promote the industry and to retain the attractiveness of the region as an investment destination. So we have established a working group that's going to be helping us to steer conversations with key regulators, working with governments, and just so that we are able to, you know, support our members and the kind of work that they do in capital deployment. So that is one. Two, I think the other thing that we are going to see is building more on intelligence, just being able to provide a lot more analysis and data on the nuances of the private capital ecosystem. We started doing this last year when we did the evolution of private capital in East Africa, which was a report that was launched during the conference. So our goal now is to keep building on that, work a lot more on showcasing sector-specific opportunities, country-specific challenges and opportunities. And again, this is going to be what forms our maybe short-term but also long-term strategic focus.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing that I really like, Christine, and you know, this is for your knowledge, is when we're at the conference, we always display, or you guys always display, entrepreneurs who have been assisted in building their portfolio company or their, you know, their companies in different regions. So for example, last year we had that, what was her name, the lady from Uganda,
Queen Africa.
I mean, that was fantastic as a demonstration of what private capital can do in this region. What do you need from us as a membership in order to, for you to guys take it forward?
I think first I'll add to what Jackie was saying. I'd say that more of the activities you're also going to be seeing this year is the GP LP conversations.
Okay.
Putting them in the same room and having the tough conversations between the two. You know, I think, like I said, looking at this year where we need to reflect and look at performance and look at impact. And I think there's been a narrative of that in, and especially even for me, when I think coming from outside and coming in. So my first perception was that, I mean, people are losing a lot of money. But when you look at the impact, you know, over time and having conversations with Jackie, when you look at the impact that's coming from the industry, I think that's one of the things that's not being showcased. Just like what you said, it was interesting to see the lady who was able to talk about her story at the conference. So having those conversations with GP and LP, and also highlighting, like I said, the achievements that we've had over the years.
Yeah. Also, you know, venture capital is a growing area, specifically in Kenya. I think even the report, INM Birdbridge's report, highlighted that venture capital is a growing trend for East Africa and for Kenya. That venture capital is capital that is not yet being tested. The entrepreneur is new in the industry, they're taking a risk on it. What is the eventual outcome for that entrepreneur? How do we bolster that energy for venture capital in this region and make sure that we're taking advantage of it?
I think the first step would be just ensuring that the business environment is friendly to any investor who's coming in. And so that goes back to what I was saying before on advocacy, lobbying. What is the tax frame? What are the tax framework? How does the legal and regulatory framework of each country look like? And narrowing it down to see how different changes affect capital deployment or uptake of transactions. That would be one way to look at it at a fund level. I think there's also need, and what I've seen is in most cases, or rather in many cases, when you're having these conversations of what's affecting capital deployment and how to unlock the barriers, we tend to focus a lot more on the supply side of capital and forget about the challenges that exist on the demand side of capital. So I believe there's a lot of education still needed. Some of this work has already been done before, but there's still a lot of education needed in just sort of bridging the gap between the investor and the investee companies. What are your expectations? What are you seeing? What is the value add? What are these investors doing to support this capital beyond, to support these companies beyond just capital? Because building investable businesses requires more than just capital. And what's really interesting to see right now is the rise of angel investors that's coming up as an asset class, right? Some of these are people who've already been there. They've gone through the entrepreneurship journey. They've built businesses. Some of them have succeeded and some of them have not, unfortunately. But they're now coming back to continue fueling innovation by supporting especially very early stage businesses that are not considered bankable by anyone, not even the VCs who have a very higher appetite for risk. And so also just to pick on your point on the model of the VC, I think we've had a lot of these conversations happening in the last couple of years, and this narrows it down to what Christine alluded to again on performance. We haven't, unfortunately, seen a lot of returns. There's not much return on capital or an investment. And so these are some of the things that we want to look into and just kind of drive cohesion, encourage collaboration and networking to be able to share, learn from each other. Celebrating success stories is also another way to look at it in terms of supporting entrepreneurship and building this story. And so you're able to, you know, you're showcasing success stories as well as not shying off from talking about the failures, right? In a way that encourages and then inspires the next generation of founders.
I think also one of the things that we have not done, in you know, even as a practitioner myself, we have not done, is delineated or even made set out the difference between, there are some VCs or private equity who are not expecting a huge return. It's more about the impact, you know. It's more about what they're doing with the money and, you know, seeing that they've been invested in a meaningful way. And when we look at the pool of investments, everyone is looking for what is the return for each of them. But some of them are not looking for that necessarily. And so we need to also align and say, this one is looking for impact and then not necessarily a return. And they got their impact. So that is a success story in itself, not necessarily the financials, which is a traditional method by which we analyze, right?
Yeah, absolutely right. And also when it comes to impact, what is our definition of impact?
Very true.
Like, as an ecosystem, is there an alignment in the definition first of all of what impact is? And if there is, what is that? How are you measuring it?
Right. Well, I can finalize, what will the powerhouse of Christine and Jackie's impact be? Can you share that? Christine, what will your legacy be?
I was just telling Jackie this, and I was like, probably we came, we saw, we conquered, but I don't think that fits properly. So what I'd say is, one of the things we're looking at doing is ensuring that, you know, this disbursement of local capital, the pension funds.
That would be great.
Yeah, so probably from the 1% to 5%.
Yeah.
But don't hold me. But hopefully from that, we are doing a lot of lobbying around that. And hoping that a few of the case studies, because there's some that have been successful, would prove to the rest that, you know, they need to take the risk, and we'd be there to guide.
And we're here to help, right?
Yeah.
As a collective membership. Okay, yeah. I like the way I'm saying we, like, are
part of your part of it. Oh yeah, it's actually very encouraging to hear it coming from you.
And Jackie?
Yeah, maybe just to add to what Christine has already mentioned, I would say, other than looking at pension funds as a source of local capital or domestic capital, is also tapping into the angel investors.
I mean, I think you're very right. Yeah. Even that needs to be a separate asset class.
Yeah.
Angel investors, private equity, venture capital, all of the people who support that ecosystem, right?
Yeah, and just facilitating conversations or creating platforms for people to be able to talk about some of the challenges, some of their success stories, what sort of models are working. So if we can be able to facilitate such conversations to a point where we shift the conversation from talking about lack of returns from VCP in East Africa to now being able to demonstrate, like, some people who have done well, because then that goes a long way in just building credibility and supporting future ventures.
I'm completely in mind, and I wish you all the best as we look forward to the next 10 years.
Thank you so much
for joining me. This has been the East Africa Venture Capital Association podcast, the first one of 2024. Many more to come. See you next time. Bye, everyone.
The views and information expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily present those of the firm. All content is provided for general purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. We make no representations, warranties, or guarantees, whether expressed or implied, that the content on our podcast is accurate, complete, up-to-date, or reflects the current law. We accept no responsibility for any loss or damage, whether direct or consequential, arising from reliance on the information which is presented here.